You guys look like you've had your coffee. Just a couple of a reminder. I'm going to put this slide up here. If you have questions, you can text this number, and we can either answer them today if I get them, or Wednesday on live stream, Steve and Jody can address them.
Oh, as dear well. Goodness, I forgot about that.
Yeah. She, I think it's great that the Lord put your title as connections pastor, because connecting the dots is not your strength.
Wow. That's true.
That's true.
It is. That's why you and David are in my life.
Yeah. We're awesome, David. We're a good team. Yeah. Yeah. Well, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about Jody Brown. You've been here since the beginning.
I have.
You and David were one of the original 11 in the living room.
Indeed.
Our first baptism in her hot tub.
Yes. That's awesome.
We do have pictures to prove that happened.
Yeah. Yes. We did. We were fairly new to Oklahoma City, and we started attending Life, and I met Steve. And as you guys know, he's very, he sought me out. I would get there early, and he'd come and sit, and he'd talk to me. Like, he came off the stage one day, and I thought, that is so weird. I loved it, but it was weird to me. And so anyway, we made some connections there and started attending his Sunday school class. And so when he felt called to go, we went with him because it's who we had relationship with. It has definitely been a journey from 11 to what we have now. I was a fairly new Christian when I started walking with them. So my whole life, because I really didn't start living until I found Jesus, but has basically just been grace and love and all of that. And I've always been very thankful for that. I am married. My husband and I have been married for 32 years. I got married when I was about 10. We have
10. We need to talk about that.
We have two children, and I have a new grandbaby. You guys see me sporting her around all the time. Hopefully she won't be too loud today. My husband is in the horse business. He's been a jockey. He's rode race horses his whole life, and he has recently retired from that and is now training barrel horses and race horses. And slowing down a little bit, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I've been here working since probably about the summer of 2014. Mm-hmm. I've occupied about every office in the building except for Steve's. I've had myriads of titles and jobs along the way, so I'm excited about this new one.
Yeah. So you talked about myriads of jobs and roles and responsibilities. So the former one as of
recent.
Yeah, real recent was just kind of overseeing when we prayed over her to set her in. Pastor Steve mentioned her servant heart and things like that. So pretty much if it needed to get done and nobody was doing it, you could find her doing it even if she shouldn't have been, you know, because it
got done.
Yeah, it got done. Yeah. And he did mention it could be a weakness, but just overseeing the facility as well as Sunday morning ministries like greeters and ushers, baptism, communion, things like that. And the Lord has really done a shift in you. And I know we're going to talk about that after we talk about what connections is. I know somebody Ed asked me this morning, he said, what's on the agenda for this morning? And I told him we were going to get to set you in as connections pastor. And he goes, so what's that mean? And I was like, we're going to talk about it. So, but I sent you this text as we were, as the Lord was really formulating this, I sent you this text one night and I said, I know you hate titles.
And I do.
Yeah. But do you have a good one or two word description of how you would communicate your role? And I thought you might have found something in your notes, because what the Lord's done is he's taken you back through years of notes that he's now putting all those pieces together. He's connecting your dots.
Yes.
It's so cool. And I asked you that, and you you just really summed up the biggest thing you found is that it's a bridge and a connector.
Right.
And it was like connections, Pastor, which I had already kind of zoned in on. Steve, we found this weekend, and I screenshot it to you. He had sent us a picture of a, I don't know where you were, but it was a kind of an information desk. And above it, it said Connect Center. And we were like, we laughed pretty good about that this weekend because the Lord was just putting all the little pieces together. So explain, maybe communicate to them, what is, what's your role now? I mean, what is Connections Pastor? What's your role now?
Well, I don't get to do anything anymore. I've been ruled off. And it's funny because we joke about that, but it is a weakness as well as a strength, but it'll be a journey in taking my hands off of stuff and letting people, which really, when you think about the fact that they're calling, that it is a connection pastor and that my heart is to connect people one to another, connect people to Grace Church, connect people to the Lord. If I'm doing everything, there is no room for you to connect.
Right.
And so there's many reasons why I just get up and do it. How many moms can just know, dear God, it's easier to just get up and do the dishes. Mm-hmm. It just, let's get it done. They're done right. They're done the way I like them.
Right. And then to take the time to teach and equip and connect.
All of that.
Yeah. I got three boys, so I understand.
And so, but it's not beneficial. It doesn't benefit anybody except something in my heart or in my mind that, okay, that's taken care of and I can move on. So the connection pastor as a whole is just what she said. It's a connecting and a bridge. I will be in charge of, or I will be overseeing, however overseeing sounds better. I don't like in charge. Overseeing, connecting families corporately to the body of Grace and what he's called us to do. But the part that I'm really excited about is the part where we're just connecting to each other. Mm-hmm. And when my daughter's struggling being a new mom, I can connect her to another new mom, mm-hmm. or I can connect her to somebody who has survived babies, mm-hmm. or survived toddlers or teenagers, or, you know, whatever the case may be, and just saying, hey, can you walk with them a little bit? And just, they need some encouragement. They need to know they're not going to die in this season. Like, they will live to tell about this.
Yeah, right.
So that's the part that I'm really excited about.
Yeah. So, and the Connections Pastor really sums up kind of two broad categories. And so I kind of see it almost like an umbrella. So it's what you said, connecting people to each other, mm-hmm. based upon what their need is and things like that. But then underneath that, it's pastoral and family care, and I'll let you speak to that, but also assimilation, and I want you to speak to that. And so,
see, she's connecting all the dots for me again.
Well, yeah. We are friends. The Lord, it's like, you know, Corinthians, yes. Put in action.
All Ephesians the parts, 4. That's
yes,
right.
Exactly.
So, to do the corporate and the family care. So when I know there's needs, like I spoke of earlier, but even needs as far as baptisms or somebody who's gotten newly saved, somebody's in the hospital, somebody's had a death in their family, and just making sure that those people are cared for, because I don't know how many of you guys have experienced a death to somebody that's close to you. The worst days are not the day they die.
Right.
It's not the day of the funeral. It's the day when everybody goes home and goes back on with their life. Mm-hmm. And your life has been changed forever. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how you're going to go on to the next day. And it's just quiet. Mm-hmm. And that sucks. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that those people have somebody calling them, mm-hmm. and saying, hey, how are you today? Mm-hmm. Do you need to go have lunch? Do you need me to come sit and cry with you? Mm-hmm. Do I need to kick you in the butt and tell you, hey, come on, there's grief, and then there's bondage, and we don't want to get into the bondage of grief because that's a horrible, I've been there, it's a horrible place to be.
Right.
So, and then the assimilation is what I had mentioned earlier, just about connecting people and making a bridge where you guys can get involved in what the Lord is doing at Grace Church. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about the vision that he's given me because it really is just family. He took me to Ephesians 4 and 2 through 6. And in that part of that passage, he talks about, it's where it says, one.
You mean read it?
Yeah, you do that.
I've got it. So 2, starting in 2?
Sure, okay. Just read it all.
With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And I ate that, and that word love is a noun. It's not a verb. That's something
really?
We do. Yes.
I missed that when I
yes,
that.
So good.
Look at you.
I almost didn't fix my hair today because I was stuck in that. I don't know if any of you guys get that way. And But with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. And you like to say we are family there,
yes,
right?
Yes, and so when he showed me that scripture, that's what he said. If I am Father of all, then we are all family. And I know we hear that a lot, and it's verbiage that we're very used to, but... So what he showed me for the assimilation part of it is this is a house, and there are certain things that have to happen for a house to function. And just like in our own homes, for a family, and I'm talking a healthy family. I know there's a million different kind of families represented here. I'm talking about a healthy family.
Yeah.
Everybody has a part to play. And when somebody doesn't play their part, it's not quite so healthy. And then things don't go as smoothly. And I'm excited about just how I'll get way wrapped up into all of that. But just that we are a family and to start operating like one and quit operating in the normal. This is the ministry I'm going to do. This is what I do or whatever. So I'm excited to see how all that plays out.
Share with us some of the wrapped up in.
Well, like she said earlier, I do not like titles. I don't know what I have against them. I probably need to sit with the Lord on it, but I'm just not real hip on that. I was not raised in church. So a lot of the... more traditional or religious things that a lot of churches do don't make sense to me because I wasn't raised in church. And I'm like, this is just odd. People getting so wrapped up in identities of what they do.
Yeah.
And my heart is that when we come in on a Sunday morning, when we come in on Thanksgiving Day to do an outreach, when we go out into the community and go to the schools, that our heart is, this is my family.
Mm-hmm.
And today I'm going to love my family well, and I'm going to care for them, and I'm going to do my part. And if I see a need, whether it's my ministry or my job, if I see somebody sitting over in the corner crying, I'm going to go put my arm around him and say, how can I help you?
Yeah.
If I see somebody standing in the middle of the hallway lost, I'm going to say, where can I take you? What can I help? What's going on? Kind of thing. And function more like the ebb and flow of how families do. I may mainly cook all the time. Not all the time. I may cook at home. I may be the sole person that cooks at home. But it's okay if I'm sick. And one of the kids, they don't live at home anymore, but one of the kids get up and actually cook dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I long to see us function like that, where we're all just caring and loving for one another instead of wrapped up in our own little, as Steve would say, our own little silos of mm-hmm. this is what I do and this is who I am. And don't you dare ask me to take somebody to a children's room. I'm an usher or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's the, you know, we read Ephesians 4, but what's mm-hmm. the vision that the Lord has put in your heart about connections in reference to Ephesians 4?
It's pretty simple. It's just one body, one vision. If we are all one body, what is the vision of Grace Church?
Advancing God's kingdom.
To advance God's kingdom one heart at a time. I just want to show up on Sunday morning and advance God's kingdom one heart at a time.
Yeah.
I realize that everybody that walks in these doors has an opportunity put in front of them to encounter the living presence of God. Mm-hmm. And whatever I can do to help facilitate that, if it is to make them feel good about leaving their kids in the children's ministry, then I want to do that. If it's making sure that they have a place where they can wear a mask and feel safe and undistracted during worship, then I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So you mentioned that in reference to Sunday morning, and you talked a little bit about, you know, people maybe that have suffered loss or, you know, in the hospital and things like that. And so that's very natural for you to do. You're a very high shepherd. You definitely are learning how to use the other side of your shepherd staff and poke in love, not just gather everybody in. But what does that look like then? Because you mentioned, you know, making sure that somebody feels comfortable taking their kid into Tiny Treasures or things like that, Kids of Grace. But what does that look like then in reference to, you know, pastoral care? Like, I see it. How many of you have been touched by the life of Paul Whitlock here? Aaron, you better raise your hand. Yeah. Your backside. Yeah. Spoken like a true son. But that was my first ministry job. I got to work for Paul Whitlock, and I was he and John Davidson's secretary, and we had some great laughs. But I learned so much about what it really looks like. He's a very high evangelist with a shepherd's heart as well, and what it really looks like to reach out to the community, but then to make sure that they're cared for well. And that's what she's talking about. Like, those of you that have it on your heart to bring the community in and see them in an intimate relationship with the Lord, that is exactly what she's talking about, is bringing in those of us that are here, those of us those outside the wall, bring them into the body of Christ and make sure that they are equipped in who they are in Christ. And that they are safe and they have a place to serve and to give and to love. And so tell us what that looks like even outside of Sunday mornings. I mean, you mentioned hospitals and things like that, but how does someone get into relationship, you know?
So one of the other things that I was reminded of is that I'm not going to beg anybody to connect, and I'm not going to beg anybody to serve your family. I'm going to encourage you to do it. But it does go so much further than outside of just a Sunday morning. This is such a small part. It is 1/7 mm-hmm. of what the kingdom is about. Mm-hmm. And so I have a gentleman who I've talked to several times. Mm-hmm. He has a passion to cook. Well,
no.
He has a passion to
smoke meat.
And so,
how many of you like to eat good smoked ribs?
I can hook you up.
Yes.
And it was funny because I've tried, one of the mindsets I would love to see change is that for the things that the Lord has put in your heart, that you have to wait until we have a venue for you to operate in that. And so I keep saying to this gentleman, cook your meat. And so he has started cooking his meat in his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He just opens up the smoker, throws the meat in. Lo and behold, they come.
Yeah.
And so he has started building community and relationship with his neighbors,
right,
doing what he loves to do.
Yeah.
Like, he wants this to be his ministry. So why can't it be? And so the other day I said to him, I said, my hope is that people will come to me if they can't think out. Like,
outside
some of us
box.
Aren't really
say
good
that a lot.
Outside of the box thinkers. I happen to be one of them. But come to us and share what your passion is and what your heart is. I said, something that the Lord, sometimes I don't even know how he put these things in me, but from the beginning of walking with him, if you want to trip my trigger, just start talking about unity in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go for days, and I can't even explain all that it does in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I would love to know that Hera Church is doing some big youth event or something, and we offer to send you to go cook their meat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you're getting to do what's on your heart.
Yeah.
I'm doing what's on my heart because now we're building relationships with other churches, mm-hmm, and they're blessed because they don't have to cook meat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's just some things like that. If you're passionate about dogs, and
which you are too,
I am passionate about four-leggeds, all of them. But if you're passionate about dogs and Sally's passionate about nursing homes, why can't the two of you hook up and take your dog to the nursing home with Sally? Let her minister to the people that are in there while you and your dog walk around and people pet it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a big ministry. A managed, or what do you and Steve say something?
Endorsed, church endorsed. Or,
yeah, they use a different word.
You used
but
a
that.
Venue, you know,
ma'am,
waiting for us to have a venue or an avenue.
And just thinking, you know, if you think about the early church in Acts, they did not have ministries that you signed up for to operate in your gift.
Yeah.
You did life.
Mm-hmm.
And you used the things that God made you passionate about and that you loved. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love that he's the kind of father that he doesn't make you operate all the time in things that you hate and detest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he puts the passion and the love in it and says, here, go do this and bless somebody and build relationships, because that's what brings people into the kingdom. This doesn't bring people into the kingdom. For the most part, you know, it's the kindness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only experience, I mean, Steve can only give out so much kindness in one sermon,
mm-hmm,
kind of thing. So some of us that are a little bit more broken took a little bit more kindness than that.
Hmm.
And I think it's funny because she says I'm a high shepherd. She probably doesn't even know this. But one day she did something. I don't remember what she did. And this has been years and years and years and years ago. And I thought,
we're quite a bit younger than that. You got married at 10.
You're right.
Okay.
But that still was 32 years ago. So that's still, she did something for somebody. And I thought, that was a super practical way to love on that person and let them know. I think she gave a plant to them or she took them a dinner or something. And I started watching the way that she loved on people. And most people would not say that Gretchen has a high shepherd gift. I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I think she loves people well. I think she lets people know that she's thinking about them, that they haven't fallen off the face of the earth. And so I just started watching. I was like, I can do that. I thought outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can do some of that. So that's really even where some of that started for mm-hmm. me. I was just watching that.
Yeah, it probably was being raised by a high shepherd. And,
possibly.
You know, when your parents go on vacation and they leave their house unlocked just in case somebody in the community might need something out of their house.
That's
you know, awesome. Yeah, that is definitely my parents. So they ministered the love of Jesus. Well, one of the things that you actually put into writing, and I don't know if we have this on slide yet, but the purpose statement for Connections is you to exist to help the body of Christ connect to each other and ultimately grow in the connection with the Lord. And use the example of, like, you know, if Herachurch or another church was doing a youth event and Dan wanted to go provide, you know, the meat for them and smoke the meat, and how that unity, that's Ephesians 4, absolutely. But then you also, like, how do we walk that out? And you put, and they got it up there for us, we will do that by creating and offering opportunities for connection and growth through outreach, events, volunteer opportunities, discovery groups, and ultimately disciple making. Like, that is Grace Church. That's not one area. I mean, that is literally infusing connections into every aspect. Worship, kids, students, outreach, discipleship, like all of it. And so this is so huge. And just like she used people that had something on their heart, if you have something in your heart, don't sit around and wait on it to happen. Come to her and let her use her growing gift of thinking outside the box to talk through with you ways to make it happen. You know, I know someone came recently about a bus ministry. You know, if that's on your heart, we've tried the bus thing and it didn't work for Grace Church. But man, if it's on your heart to get kids in a neighborhood here, load them up and bring them and work with her to develop that desire into a practical application within your own life. And that's what I love about it. Just creating for them and offering them ways, you know, to partner. So how hard has this, or how easy has this shift been for you? Because, I mean, we've talked about it as a staff. Like, we're going to have to get out of the habit of going to Jody for all these things. Like she said, I realize I'm not going to be able to do anything anymore. Well, you just mean, like, hands-on, yes. You know. We'll still let you weed the flower bed every now and then, oh, because that is your therapy. Man. But maybe paint a room every now and then if Donnie lets you.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I used to beg Donnie, can I just do some trim work? What do you call that? What do you call
cut
that?
In.
Cutting.
Yeah.
Can I please just cut? Just for a few minutes, please.
Yeah.
Had to prove myself first.
Right.
And then it has been, it actually has been very interesting, and it hasn't been that difficult, really. I mean, when the Lord shows it to you, it gets really simple. You either say yes or no. Mm-hmm. So he has had me on a journey the last few months and just showing me different seasons of my life, different things that he's taught me and grew me up in, different things that I've experienced, and how it all just kind of came to this moment.
Mm.
And so we were in staff one day, and we've been eating scripture for our staff devotion. And so we were eating the scripture, and afterwards, you know, we asked the question, you know, what is Jesus saying to you, and what is your obedience in it? And so he gave me a letter.
I got it up there for you.
And when I finally went back and found the scripture we ate, had nothing to do, nothing to do with this letter. I don't even know how this came to be. But part of it was just, was this section of it. And what's neat about this to me is, like, the way he worded things to me is, there are so many seasons of my life, little things that he has said to me in those seasons. And so it says, I vow to you, Jody Lynn, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have already given to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. You do not need to fret over this next shift in your position at the church. It is a new season, a season of deeper dependency on me, a season of greater partnership together. You will learn to trust less and less in your flesh and your abilities as you watch me show up in your weakness and in your perceived inadequate places for such a time as this. It is the Lord. I am for you, daughter. Love, I am. Mm-hmm. And so will you go back to the first one, because I'll lose my place. So we went through a real season of him ministering to me and telling me that he is never going to leave me nor forsake me. And so what some of these things that are odd for me is that I've never worried about losing my salvation. I don't worry about him leaving me, or so I thought, and forsaking me. But when we started going through this journey, and after he tells you that about four or five times, you're like, there might be something to this. I might need to listen. So, in that season, he taught me how many kids are in here? When you blend families, I have been a blended family my whole life. My parents were not together by the time I was like 6 months old. And so he would tell me all the time, you're acting like a stepchild again. Mm. You're not a stepchild. And I say why I want to look around, because there's nothing wrong with stepchildren. Mm-hmm. I've had some wonderful parents in my lifetime. And, but there is a mentality mm-hmm. of he has to put up with me because I'm just part of the package. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have chose me on his own. That's what it boiled down to, is he wouldn't have chose me. Mm-hmm. He just had to take me because I'm part of the family of God, kind of thing. So,
yeah, my bonus dad, that's what I call him mm-hmm. instead of my stepdad. But it's like, you know, Heidi and Gretchen are part of the package, Charlie.
Yeah.
And my mom said that. And it's a reality, right? You marry me, you've got three girls, mm-hmm. not just me.
Right.
And, but like that mentality, he isn't my stepdad. Mm-hmm. He's my bonus dad. I am blessed to have two.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So he showed me that I had a place at the table, and he invited me to come sit with him and get off the floor and quit acting like a dog, basically. Mm-hmm. The part where it says, I have already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, that is my life verse. I have struggled my whole life, even before I knew Jesus, with the lie that I'm never enough. Mm-hmm. Like I could have always been better. And it doesn't matter. Anyways, that is a work in progress. We have come a long way.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have to remind myself, as I was coming to church this morning and my brain was getting bombarded, and that he has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness, that this is not my thing. He gave the letter. He told me he was in it. And so I didn't need to worry about whether I remembered all the things I wanted to say or thought needed to be said. And then the next thing was, you are going to fall in those heels, because Jody Brown doesn't wear heels. Mm-hmm. But Jody Brown's also short, and if she doesn't wear heels, she can't wear dress pants. So,
and I just need to find a good seamstress.
Right. And so I got like halfway here, and the Lord's like, just take the shoes off. Just go up the stairs in your bare feet, put your shoes on. It's all good. I'm like, I can do that.
Which is what you did.
That's right. Okay, the next. And so when it was talking about trust less and less in your flesh and your abilities, that kind of seems to contradict what I just said. But I have a lot of confidence in my ability to get up and get something done. Mm-hmm. And I have even better confidence that if I can't get it done, I will find somebody that can get it done. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, it is going to be a journey. And part of the letter that I didn't include in this was that he said, it will be a process and a journey to learn how to lay things down and trust other people to take care of them. And they may not take care of it the way you do, but if it's taken care of, it's taken care of. So, and the adequate thing just goes back to the not enough. So mm-hmm. I did a girls' Bible study with the youth years and years ago. Annie was in it, if that tells you how many years ago it was. And we did I can't remember if it was a whole summer or if it was a whole year. I feel like it was a whole year on the book of Esther. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times he says stuff like, this is the time, it was for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And then it is the Lord that just was his, he always has to end it with a giggle because we have a friend that says, it is the Lord. And so when he said that, that's what I thought of. I was mm-hmm. like, it is the Lord. So. And once I got that, I was excited.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I referred back to the text when I was asking her, you know, have you found anything that the Lord's given you in your notes about, you know, a descriptive title? And she said, all joking aside, I'm ready. I'm ready for this new season Jesus has for me. And it came out of this rhema word from a scripture that we ate together in staff meeting and this Dear Jody Love I Am letter. He inbursts the faith inside of us when he gives us a personal rhema word. And that's what happened to you. And the shift happened because I've watched you. I mean, obviously we've known each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. But in that, even the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years in disciple making, I've watched you continue to cut off the tentacles of these lies of inadequacy mm-hmm. and all of those things and bring you into a place of really allowing the Lord to inbirth faith within mm-hmm. you. And it's really, really awesome to see. And so I guess what I want to ask you last is, what's the one thing that you want everybody either watching online or in this room to like capture? And I know you'll be available with a meet and greet as far as well as like Patty and Ken are going to join you back there and some others, the staff, just to be able to answer questions about what this looks like. And let me tell you right now, if you're part of the usher or the first impressions team or the information desk, she's going to be putting together a meeting at the end of January-ish, somewhere around in there, not only for you, but if you're interested in being involved on a Sunday morning or getting involved in all kinds, there's all kinds of different pathways that the Lord's developing in this connections, from online ministry to hospital to meals to ushers and greeters. And instead of it being a bunch of different ministries, it's going to be one, and it's so cool how the Lord's like putting this together. But what's the one thing that you want people, sticking with even the Father's heart of one, mm-hmm. what's the one thing that you want everybody to walk away hearing today and knowing just about connections and what the Lord's heart is?
I think I probably won't stick with one.
It's all right.
But I think what I would like for everybody to walk away with is we are one family, and we all have a part to play. We were never, Steve said so many things today that I thought, oh, in a better place than mine where I wasn't so wrapped up in everything else, I would remember all these things. But just that, we're not called to be consumers. We have something to give, whether it's information that day, whether it's a hug, whether it's a smile, a good morning, or whatever. We have a part to play, and you're going to thrive in your walk with the Lord when you're in partnership. Mm-hmm. And I am so not even worried about what you're quote-unquote doing. I'm more concerned about, are you thriving in your relationship with the Lord? Mm-hmm. And doing is part of it. Jesus didn't just sit around. The disciples didn't just sit around. And it's doing is not a dirty word. Mm-hmm. It is part of how he created us to be. Mm-hmm. And he created us for partnership. Mm-hmm. And we function really good when we're in partnership with each other. Mm-hmm. And it just brings so much purpose and life and excitement and expectation when you're partnering towards something that's bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And so, and we're not that scary. We're pretty loving people, I feel like. I think we're kind of fun to hang out with. Yeah. So I would encourage you guys, if you haven't found a place, if you haven't felt like you've been connected, please at least make the step to come see us,
yeah.
If nothing else, during the week or after service today, and let's do something about that.
Yeah, it's good. So I really feel like today I was sitting here listening to you. We really summed up like connections the Father's heart is really about the up, the in, and the out. Mm-hmm. And so Steve and I talked about it a few weeks ago when we talked about community outreach, but up is our relationship, our intimate relationship with the Father. And then in is our close relationship with each other. And so obviously I'm in a much closer relationship with Jody than I am some of you. Now, I'm also in close relationship with some of you, but then there's out, meaning out within the outside of the walls mm-hmm. of Grace Church and what that looks like. And if you aren't having a good, healthy, balanced rhythm of the up, the in, and the out, like, you're not balanced in the Christianity. You're not balanced in what Jesus modeled for us and what he laid out for us, because he had all three. He didn't just hold up in the fort with just him and the Father, and he didn't just hang out with just the disciples. He also was out and among the crowd, and that's what I hear even in what you've done with what the Lord's shown you with connections and what you've communicated today.
I like that. So, yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Good. Good. All right. Well, anything else before we turn this back over to Steve and we go to the meet and greet? All right. Okay. Gavin, if you guys want to come, you're good.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Okay. Don't fall down.
Robert will catch you.
You guys going to go back to the fellowship hall? I want to share something with you just from my heart. Today is really answered prayer, because one of the things that new people especially have told us over the years has been, we love the church. Clearly God is here. The Spirit of God moves here. This church is, you know, different than other places that we've been. But how do we connect? How do we assimilate here? How do we get plugged in? How do we find spiritual family? And so this is really answered prayer today. It should be easy to partner with people that want to love God and love people. Amen? It should be easy. And so today is a great step in that direction. We are free people at Grace Church. Can I get a witness on that? We like to be led of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, there's liberty. So we're free people. We don't like telling you, hey, you should do this. I mean, we have a cheerful giver's box. We like for you to hear from Jesus. We want you to know him, be madly in love with him, and then do whatever he says do. That includes giving. You don't hear us bang the drum up here like you're bad people if you don't give, or, you know, if you don't, here's one I heard in church when I was growing up. If you don't pay your tithe, God will take it out of your hide. Well, that's just garbage. It's garbage. We're free people. The best place you can be is in love with the Lord. And then whether it's giving, whether it's serving, or whether it's being part of his ministry, do what he asks you to do. We are free people, so we don't go around just telling, we don't build systems that use people so the church can be awesome. I'm going to say that again. We do not build systems that use people. We're not going to do that. We want to bring you to him. The whole thing he told us on the Cheerful Givers Box 21 years ago was, Steve, if you'll bring people to me, I'm the greatest giver the world's ever seen. But would you just make the focus of the ministry relationship with me? People don't know how much I love them. People don't know that I'm for them. People don't know that I'm approachable. Religion has blotched and blighted who I really am. And I love them. And if you'll just make the focus of the ministry intimacy with me, all the needs will be met. Well, that applies here in the way that we don't just build stuff for you to do so we can look like we know what we're doing and keep a fine, ordered machine going. We want you to be free to know the Lord and then do what he asks you to do. Churches are not a machine that you feed people to use people. Churches are kingdom outposts where the people of God gather together to partner together and do what he leads us to do together. So I'm going to read Ephesians 4. It talks about that God has equipped leadership within churches for the equipping of the saints till we all come to the unity of the faith, till we all arrive at the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he does this that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the world, carried about by every wind of doctrine, trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, he did it so that we could grow up in all things into Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. How many joints? Every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the building up of itself in the love of God. Man, that's what it's all about. And that's what today is about. And that's why I'm super excited. I really believe it's answered prayer. Will you stand with me? If you want to get connected, maybe you're one of those people that have thought, man, how do I get assimilated here? See, we don't have church membership because there's only one church, and that's the church of Jesus. So if you're born again, you're a member of his church. But we do have partnership. And now we're building pathways of connectivity so that we can walk together in unity and allow every part to do its share. Does that make sense? So Father, we thank you. And let me finish my sentence, guys. If you're interested, if that is you, join us in the fellowship hall today. Let's connect. Help us empower you to be who God says you are and to carry out what he's asking you to do. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for what you're building here at Grace Church. Lord, build what you want built. We don't want to be religious. We want to be free people led by the Spirit and the Word of God. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds in the ongoing present tense out of your mouth. So I bless, Lord, each and every person here. And Lord, again, we just say, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. So build what you want to build. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. All right, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.